may be seated. How many of you are familiar with the name Ted Williams? I see a lot of hands now. Now, somebody tell me who Ted Williams is.
Golden Boys.
Golden Boys. Yeah, I figure somebody's going to say used to play for the Boston Red Sox. And it is a Ted Williams that did that, a great Hall of Fame baseball player. But the Ted Williams that I'm talking about this morning is famous from his YouTube video that over 15 million people, I think, have seen now, if the numbers I have heard are correct. And he has been on Good Morning America, The Today Show, and I don't know what all else. Ted Williams was a homeless man. If you are not into the computer stuff and don't watch Good Morning America and those things, he was a homeless man on the side of the road who was videoed, and his voice is such that he became an instant sensation on the internet. As the word they use is viral. That video went viral, and so many people have seen it and became so popular. And it's an interesting story, and I want to show you that YouTube clip there. John is going to put that up and go from there.
I'm going to make you work for your dollar. Say something with that great radio voice.
When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Magic 98.9. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll be back with more right after these words. And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert. I just said, well, hey, I can't be an actor. I can't be an on-air personality, but the voice just became something of a development over years, and I went to school for it. And then alcohol and drugs and a few other things became a part of my life, and I got 2 years clean.
He called me on my birthday. He didn't even know how old I was. He's telling people I'm 92. I'm not no 92. I'm 90. He lost a good job. He destroyed his family through drugs. So I prayed and prayed, but I always said, I guess my prayers wasn't strong enough. It never got through to him. And I went out there, and they're talking about the man with the golden voice. I said, who is that? That's your son. He come from a nice family, and then he went poor, poor. So maybe this will build him up.
More right after these words.
One thing you do when you're telling your mama's age, when it's her birthday, get it right, folks. That, if you learn nothing else there, that tickles me so. I ain't no 92, I'm 90. You know, that's, well, story of this guy here, and if you've seen it on, I'm not going to repeat everything there. And it's not the important thing of this story necessarily, but that of what it was that he talked about on Good Morning America, where I heard him actually, was that he gave the credit to the Lord, to Christ, to God, for his life being able to turn around. He said that like in 1980, he was making $62,000 or $3,000 a year, which you talk about 1980 dollars, and I remember what I was making in 1980. That was a big, big money. I mean, it's pretty good money today even, still, but in 1980, it was quite a lot more. And drugs, alcohol, and other things got in his life. And he said he never, when he was doing well, when things were good, he never gave God the credit for it. And he said that one of the things that he has learned, that what he has, that God now gets the glory for and gets the credit for because it's his. In that, excuse me, in that interview on Good Morning America, and I love it when people get on national television and it's live and they can't, you know, sense or anything, and they start talking about the Lord, about Jesus, and about God, and quoting Scripture, because you see, it kind of makes people uncomfortable in the newscasters. And when his mother was talking about, she had been going to this church and been praying for 57 years, George Stephanopoulos says, wow, 50 years in the same faith community. I mean, he couldn't say in church, you know, I just thought that was funny. I mean, It's how our world is in the politically correct aspect of it. And there's nothing wrong with saying faith community, but he was trying not to be offensive by saying church, by excluding the people who would go to a mosque or those who would go to a synagogue or any of those other places of worship that people of faith would go to. But anyway, in that, he talked about some scripture. The very scripture I read this morning, he quoted that and said that was a part of his life now and being able to do that. And that happens to be one of my favorite passages in Proverbs. And so I got to thinking about that, and that's kind of what led me to think about something a little different this morning. I wanted to talk about this passage in Proverbs. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 18 kind of are kind of a unit there together. And I want to talk about Proverbs a little bit first. Never preach much on Proverbs. I love to read Proverbs, and they give good information, but just never have for one reason or other, whatever. I never preached on them a lot. Proverbs, while they are Scripture, there's something we need to understand when we read Proverbs. Proverbs are not precepts. They are principles. Now, what's the difference between a precept and a principle? A precept is a law, just another word for a law. It's a rule. It's what God did when He gave the Ten Commandments and all of that information that Moses recorded as being received from God when he was with Him on Mount Sinai. Those are precepts. Those are law. Thus saith the Lord, this is what you will do. The Ten Commandments, they're not principles, folks. They're precepts. They're laws. That's what we obey. That's what we follow. Jesus, when He said, blessed are and you do this and the kingdom of heaven is like, those weren't principles. Those are laws, precepts. But Proverbs is different. Proverbs is a group of sayings from different people. Many of them are attributed to, rightly so, I think, the Scriptures indicate that Solomon, David's son, King Solomon, that he wrote these Proverbs, and they were compiled at some point in time after that. But remember that Proverbs are principles and not precepts. In the introduction to the book of Proverbs, in my Bible, one of the people commentating writes this about this, and I think I just want to read this to you because it gives you a good kind of basis for looking at Proverbs. It says, the book of Proverbs is more than a collection of tips and tricks. It passes on a core of knowledge and experience that God says we must have if we are to live successfully. These Proverbs are not merely old sayings that concern people in far-off lands, but universal principles that apply to all people of all times. They speak to modern problems as much as to ancient ones because they concern human nature and God's ways. Human nature has not changed since Solomon's time, neither has God. Only the landscape around us has changed. So these Proverbs that we have, they're as applicable today as they were 2,500 years ago. They are not laws, and that does not mean that when it says, if you do this, then this, then this, it doesn't mean that if you do that, then that for sure is going to happen. It means that in the course of things, these are general things that will follow. And you'll see this in what we read here today. So just remember that Proverbs are not law, but they are more application of the law. Verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Okay, right off the bat there we see. It says, do not forget my law, let your heart keep my commandments. Length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now that's not saying to us, if you keep my law, if you remember my law and put it in your heart, that everything's going to be good and you're going to live to be 117. Because we know that's not the case, don't we? We know that good people, people that love the Lord and that follow His will for their life, that they die at young ages or younger ages. They don't necessarily always live to be to a ripe old age. But generally speaking, that is what happens. Generally speaking, when you follow God's law, it puts us in such a place that we are not apt we're not as prone to some of the diseases, some of the accidents, and some of the maladies that affect the world today. If you follow God's plan for your life, you don't abuse drugs and alcohol, if you take care of your body, don't overeat and exercise and do all those things, go to the doctor for a checkup like you should, and those kind of things, then you're going to live a longer life than the person who gets out here on the street, forgets everything about God, abuses drugs, abuses alcohol, eat whatever they want, never do anything for their body, you know, to take care of their bodies. What's going to be the result? They're going to have a shorter lifespan than the person that doesn't. It's not an absolute that you're going to have a long life if you follow God and you do what He wants you to do. But there are a whole lot more people living a whole lot longer who are following God than those who aren't. It just naturally makes that happen. But what I want to even look at more there in these first two verses is the use of the word heart. Right here, even in the Old Testament, you know, where it's law, where it's following worship, the worship and the sacrifices of the temple and those kind of things. Here, Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon is telling us that it's not just about doing church or doing religious things, but it's about the heart. Let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. Don't do it just because I said do it. Do it because in your heart you love me and you have a relationship with me and you want to do it. Make it part of your heart. He doesn't want us just following Him. He wants us loving Him. Verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. There's that heart thing again. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. He uses the word mercy and truth there. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. In other words, be merciful. Observe God's mercy in the world in which you live. You see, these are a part of God's character. Don't forsake them. The thing that we should be doing in our pursuit to follow God, to follow Christ, are to exhibit the character traits that our Creator, that our Lord and Savior, that our God has exhibited, that are part of Him. Part of His character is mercy and truth. In the New Testament, mercy is replaced by, when it's talked about Jesus, mercy is replaced by the word grace and truth. And those are Jesus' character. There's not a whole lot of difference between mercy and grace. We've talked about that before, and I've given you those definitions of mercy and grace. Mercy is God refraining to give us what we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. So those are the things that the characteristics of God and of Christ that we are called upon to exhibit in our life. To put them, to bind them around our neck. To keep them close to us. Not just make them something that we do when we go to the temple and offer our sacrifice on Yom Kippur. But bind them around our neck. Make them close to us and close to who we are in our lives. So that you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. God likes it when we exhibit those characteristics that He exhibits and desires us to emulate in our lives. Verses 5 and 6, the ones I read to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, trust is something that's a decision that we must make. We must decide to trust Him. Just like I was talking about with the kids here. We can, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, what little bit I was able to be part of it, it's Vance is asking the question, it's talking about why? Why this? Well, we can ask those questions until kingdom come, till we are blue in the face, and never understand. We have to decide to trust God
with those issues in our life. He says, trust, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Not only do we trust, though, trust is the decision. Trust is a decision, but then we have to decide to act. We have to decide to move forward. In all your ways acknowledge Him. That's the action of it. Acknowledge God. Verses 7 through 10 then. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Again, these are a general pattern. That does not mean if you come to church and you tithe that you are going to become wealthy. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will never, ever lack for anything that you need if you follow God's commandments and if you tithe as He has directed you to tithe. You won't necessarily become wealthy. You won't have everything that you desire, but you will never lack for anything that you need. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes, or acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He says, it will be health to you. It will be strength to your bones. You will have possessions and you will increase. Your barns will be full. Again, this is not an absolute thing. It's a general principle. And for so many people, that is what happens. When you honor God with what you possess, with your possessions and with your pocketbook, He does bless us so often with things. It's one of the things that John Wesley talked about all the time and that he had to deal with, because Wesley lived a life of a pauper. He never had more than a few coins in his pocket at any one time. Anything he got, he gave and put back into the ministry to feed hungry people or to buy clothes for those who didn't have them or to take care of orphans or sick or those in prison to minister to them. And he knew if people would honor God as they were supposed to, that they would inevitably acquire some personal earthly wealth. And so his stance to them was to earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. If we follow those godly principles that are set down here, inevitably we will attain some personal things in this world. Maybe not become Bill Gates, but we will possess certain things. And God is trying to tell us that we give Him the glory for that. Verse 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the Father the Son in whom He delights. I don't much like to hear that, do you? I know you children don't like that. That's telling your parents to correct you when you're wrong. Did you know that? Did you know your mom and dad, your parents, your elders have the biblical imperative to correct you when you're wrong? Sometimes I like that. Any of y'all? Good thing God don't enjoy punishing us when we do wrong, isn't it? I enjoyed it sometimes, though. I don't punish mine much anymore, except I can still have a little sway with Carrie because she's still in graduate school, so I have a slight amount there. But I have over in the course of time enjoyed some punishment. I tell you one time in particular, y'all have heard me tell before about Matthew. When he was 16 or 17, senior in high school, and he left the keys in his Jeep, and it got stole, and it got burnt that night on the side of the road. After I had told him on multiple occasions, do not leave the keys in that thing. Well, he left them in there, and it got stole. I really enjoyed saying, you are grounded till the end of this year and beyond. This was in December when it happened. But it just was something that was really pleasurable about doing that. I enjoyed it. I wanted to do much worse, but the laws in North Carolina prohibit some of the things that I would have liked to have done. So I did as much as I could to him there. And something that just really sent pleasure through my heart and soul was to see him as being, well, actually he was 18 years old at that point. He had turned 18 in November right before this happened, was to see him walk out and get on that school bus in the morning. That was probably the worst thing that I could ever do to him. And his sisters, well, they could drive, but there was some other time that I'd made him ride the bus when he had done something that they could, they then had to ride the bus because of his wrongdoings, and they did not like him at all during that time. I'm so glad that God, while He does punish us, while He will chasten us, while He will correct us, He doesn't take pleasure and enjoy it. This is a principle here. You know, sometimes people go through life and do just whatever they want to. They live however they want to, and they seem like the more that they sin, and the more raucous of a lifestyle they live, the more they prosper. And you just sit there and you scratch your head and say, where is the justice in this world? But it's a principle, folks. God causes the rain to shine, the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, the sun to shine on the good and the bad. It's a principle. And folks, there is no one living today who lives a sinful life who one day is not going to have to deal with that. It may not be on this earth in this life, but standing before the Lord God Almighty, one day they, just like you and I, are going to have to stand before the Lord and make account. And the only way that we can stand, any of us, worthy before the Lord, y'all ain't never heard me say this, I know, is it with Jesus standing there saying, He's mine. I've died for Him. My blood was shed for Him. God has chastened us because He loves us. Then finally, verses 13 through 18. Happy is the man, happy. We all want to be happy, don't we? Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Now, I'm sorry, folks. It's not talking about your mama when it's talking about her. It's not talking about your wife, not your sister, not your girlfriend or anybody. It's talking about wisdom. Wisdom is that thing. You know, it's a good thing, you know, that we talk about wisdom. Solomon, do you remember who Solomon was and what it was that Solomon asked for? Wisdom. Wisdom. And it pleased God so much that was what he sought. He pleased God so much that Solomon sought wisdom rather than fame and fortune that he gave him all of it. Wisdom is something that we can't replace in our lives, folks. And we can't conjure it up on our own. Wisdom comes from God's gift and from the experience of living that we go through on a daily basis. It's the most valuable, the most desirable of all gifts. Wisdom. It's better than rubies, than gold, than silver. It's better than all the things that we could possibly desire. Wisdom. When we possess wisdom, it gives us there, it says, length of days, riches and honor and pleasantness. Once again, a principle that when we live our lives as people filled with God's wisdom, that those kind of things are going to be the kind of things that come to us. And peace. Most importantly, peace. The last verse says, she, wisdom, is a tree of life. Who is that tree of life, do you think? Jesus Christ. The greatest wisdom that any of us can possess is to recognize that we can't, on our own, fulfill the needs the heart needs of our life. The tree of life, the greatest wisdom that we can exhibit right here today, is to say before Him and before all that we want to trust Him and that our wisdom be grounded in His love and His life. Happy, it says, as we begin that passage, is the man. And the final line there says, and happy are all who retain her. Happy. Be happy in the Lord today because the wisdom that He has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, can transform our hearts, can change our lives, and can draw us close to Him. Ted Williams, the man in the video, had to go through a lot to find happiness once again. Happiness is right here for you today if you will trust Him and depend upon His wisdom and not lean upon your own. Lean upon Him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for the wisdom that You have placed in our hearts and lives through Your Son, Jesus. Lord, may we be wise today in all that we do. May we depend upon You and trust You, You alone. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this